seventh benefit. الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبيه ومصطفاه. أما بعد, dear brothers and sisters, حياكم الله. With this final lecture in regard to the issues of Hajj, just before we go to Hajj, and inshallah we're gonna meet once again after Hajj if Allah Ta'ala extended our lives and blessed us with Iman. May Allah Ta'ala afford us those two things. Dear brothers and sisters, today our lecture is in different issues. The first thing is 11 benefits from the Hajj of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then the sayings in the months of Hajj. And lastly, the names or names in Hajj. First, the 11 benefits from the Prophet's Hajj sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And first point is the delay of the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only did Hajj in the last year before he died. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam did the Hajj in the 10th year of Hijrah, and he died in Rabi'ul Awwal, the 3rd month of the year 11. And he in the Hajj used to say to the Sahaba, لعلي لا ألقاكم بعد عامي هذا, لعلي لا أحج بعد عامي هذا, I may not see you after this year, I may not perform Hajj after this Hajj. So the question is, why did the Hajj of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam delayed all this time? I wish I can see anybody answer this question. Anybody is willing to try, please just raise your hand, but please quickly. Ya Ikhwan, dear brothers and sisters, it's not an exam, it's just to make the lecture yani shared between us. So please join us in this session so we can benefit out of it, inshallah. The answer of this question is that you understand?
Raise your hand.
Right. What? Any? The question is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had done his Hajj only on the 10th year of Hijrah, which was 3 months before he sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. Why was this delay? Why did this delay happen? No, it is not because he was sick. He wasn't sick 10 years. First of all, the Hajj was not made obligatory except on the 10th year of Hijrah, from the time that the Prophet ﷺ migrated. And the reason was, up until the 8th year, year number 8 of Hijrah calendar, the Kaaba was surrounded by 360 idols, other than the two idols up on the mountains of Safa and Marwa, other than the drawings of the atheist, the shirk, and all around the walls of the Kaaba from the inside. Beside that, it was or it used to happen that the kuffar who used to come to Hajj before Mecca is conquered by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some of them used to do tawaf and sa'i naked, totally naked, no clothes on them, men and women. So it was shame for somebody like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to witness like these false and does not say anything to it. So on the 8th year of the Hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the 8th year, he conquered Mecca and he destroyed all the idols around the Kaaba and the two on Safa and Marwa, as well as in Nakhla between Arafah and Taif, and the one in Taif and the one in Daus. So he destroyed all the idols of the area, and that is the physical shirk more or removed. But the people there still have some visions of shirk reminded in their minds. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to remove it as well. Wanted to remove that as well. So he sent on the 9th year of Hijrah Abu Bakr as-Siddiq as the leader of the Hajj. And when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu marched a while from Medina, he sent after him Ali ibn Abi Talib to declare to the people in Mecca that it is not permissible anymore for any mushrikun, any kuffar, any non-Muslims to come into the haram boundaries. And it is not permissible for anyone to do tawaf naked. So on the 10th year of Hijrah, the purification of the Holy Land, Mecca, is complete and was in the best level of it. To be good enough for the sign of purity of mankind, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to come there. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came on the 10th year of Hijrah when there was no any meaning or sign or act or saying of shirk. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba, rituals of Hajj from me, I might not see you or you might not see me after that. So that was the reason of the delay. Now what we benefit from this? We benefit that wherever shirk is committed, we do not be present there. We do not attend. We do not witness the falls. And I say that because we are approaching one celebration of shirk in a few days. And you people living in the West may or may not know that it is impermissible for us to witness the non-Muslim celebrations or to congratulate them for that. Even with the excuse that some of the Hizbis, some of them say, as they say, that we might by this softness bring the kuffar to Islam, and that is wrong. We do not sell Islam for the kuffar pleasure. Islam is strong itself and it stands very strongly. And we do not exchange the congratulations and greet of the celebrations of these days. As for some ignorant Muslims may say that they congratulate us in our two Eid days. So we congratulate them in their Eid, so this is kind of gentleness, and that is wrong. That is a witness, and Allah Ta'ala said about the believers, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ, and those who do not witness the false. The second benefit is the reason why there was a big number of people coming from everywhere in the peninsula to do Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the limits that the whole Medina is packed with them or by them, and there was no street, no narrow road free of people camping there, because there were no hotels and houses are limited. So more than 100,000 persons did Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why all this number came? Jabir radiallahu ta'ala and the narrator of the hadith of Hajj the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they all came willing to see what the Prophet ﷺ do in Hajj, so they do like him. What is the benefit for us today from this? Is when you ever going to do any worship, you need to ask how the one I love the most from amongst mankind, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did this worship. If it is in Salah, how did he stand? How did he perform Salah? If it is in fasting, how did he fast? If it is in praying Eid or whatever, if it is in Umrah, in Hajj, in relations with the others, whatsoever worship you seek reward from Allah through, then you need to ask how my most beloved person, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did it. That should be our focusing. point. Not how many people doing this, Sheikh so and so doing this. No, it is what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. That is the only way, as Allah said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, O Muhammad, if you say to them, O Muhammad, if you really love Allah, then follow me, Allah will love you and forgive your sins. Third point, the sermon that the Prophet ﷺ gave in Medina before they moved to the Hajj journey. Before they moved, he ﷺ gave them a sermon. What is that included of? It is the declaration of the prescribed stations around Mecca. He held that sermon to say to them, or to tell them, ميقات أهل المدينة من ذي الحليفة. The ميقات, the prescribed of prescribed station for Medina people is ذي الحليفة. ميقات الطريق الآخر الجحفة, and the ميقات for the people, the prescribed station for the people of the other way is جحفة, and the like, as we explained last week. Now the question, why the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم held this sermon? The people do not come to Hajj ignorant, not knowing what to do. So he described today what cannot be delayed till tomorrow. And that is essential from all the Hajj groups. Before they move from their countries, they should invite all the Hajjaj registered with them in a hotel, in a hall, in whatsoever, and give them a lecture, and better to be video witnessed. I mean they bring some video views from the Hajj to show them what to do, and even with the video they will be familiar with the views and visions that they're gonna see later. So if they tell them don't come this way and they see what is in this place, so they don't come when they see it in real. So this is the benefit. The Prophet ﷺ gave us that earlier. The fourth point, or the fourth benefit of the Hajj of the Prophet ﷺ. They, what happened in the Hulayfa, when Asma bint Umays, the wife of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha, gave birth of Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr as-Siddiq, her first baby from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Look at that. What do we benefit from that? We understand from that and benefit that as long as you are able to go for Hajj, Shir Hajj, then you go, you don't delay, even if it contains of difficulties. This woman moved from Medina and gave birth in the Hulayfa, which is only 22 kilometers away from Medina. She must have known very well that she might deliver any time in the journey. And look what happened when she gave birth of her baby. She did not say this is an excuse now, because for sure she is going to be in, bleeding for minimum of 10 or 15 days, and maximum of 40. Although that, she did not say this is an excuse, because I'm not going to be purified from the blood of birth, and she's not allowed to do tawaf. So she could have said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, excuse me, I will return, and next year I'll do the Hajj. How many people say next year today and they are not pregnant? The women rather than the men. Subhanallah. They just find excuses not to go for Hajj. But Asma did not find it an excuse to go and stay in Medina. The fifth benefit of the Hajj of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the incident of Aisha radiallahu anha being in menses before coming to Mecca. Now, Aisha radiallahu anha, when they moved, she was not in menses until she was 330 kilometers away from Mecca, 330 kilometers away from Medina, which is approximately 70 or 90 kilometers away from Mecca. There in a place called Sarif, she got the menses. And look, she was sad, and the Prophet ﷺ came to her tent, find her crying. Why? Because she wants to go back? Because the journey is hard? No. Because everyone now is going to do two tawaf, two sa'i. Except for her, one tawaf, one sa'i. And she is sad because of less rituals that she is going to do. And she wants to do more. Today, look at that. Everyone is asking, can I combine tawaf al-ifada with tawaf al-wada'? Can I just skip the tawaf al-qudum and just go to Mina on the 10th of the Hijjah? I don't go for tawaf al-ifada, I delay it until last day, so he does only one tawaf and go. Subhanallah, Aisha is very sad, she's crying for that she's going to do only one tawaf and one sa'i. Although the Prophet ﷺ told her, because she was in an yani excuse, you know, she was not avoiding that, but she was not allowed to do that, and that's why she was crying. Subhanallah, today people are crying, they don't want to do, they come and argue, but ya sheikh tawaf al-qudum sunnah, ya sheikh tawaf al-wada' wajib is not rukun. Subhanallah, they become very faqih in getting rid of rituals of Hajj. They want to minimize, like if they are doing Hajj every day. Hajj is only once a year, and in today's life, it was made to be once every 5 years for people from inside Saudi Arabia. So even if it is once a year, you may not be alive next year to do it. Yet they are just finding excuses to minimize the rituals of Hajj. Sixth benefit is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave sermon in Arafat, and look what he said: "Inna dima'akum wa amwalakum haramun alaykum ka hurmati yawmikum hadha fi sha'rikum hadha fi baladikum hadha." Verily, your blood, your wealth are forbidden for you, like this day is forbidden for you to kill or to do anything in this month, in this land. But yet people are killing each other, Muslims. See the terrorists, the Khawarij, killing everywhere, even in Saudi Arabia. How many seasons of Hajj, Hajjaj were killed, and bombs, intentionally, willing to thread the Hajjaj. And that is real against what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying in the best day. In the best day. And he said to the Sahaba, "Ala al-Ballagh, did I convey the message to you?" They all witnessed. Yes, Ya Rasulullah, we witnessed. Then Isa salam used to raise his index finger to the heavens and put it down towards them, saying, Oh Allah, witness that. Oh Allah, witness that. Oh Allah, that. What does that mean? Allah witness without the Prophet ﷺ saying. But it means to remind them that if you change after me, Allah is witnessing. Allah is seeing you. Look at those Khawarij today, encouraging the people to Look what they are doing. The sixth point or benefit. The sixth point or benefit from the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave another sermon in the day of in the tent of Dhul Hijjah, after he stoned and slaughtered the 100 camels, slaughtered 63 by himself and 37 by Ali radiallahu anhu, and then he sat for the people and gave a sermon there. Again he reminded them of the value of the blood, honor and wealth of the Muslim, and he said that it is as value as these days, as in this month, in this month, in these places. This is to confirm, and he again said that when he saw the Kaaba. He reminded the Sahaba by saying, talking to the Kaaba, but it means, and the speech is directed to the people. He said, verily I know you are given respect by Allah, but the respect of the Muslims' blood and wealth is more value to Allah than yours. But what people are doing today, and I'm wondering, subhanallah, from all around the world, they're all putting their stress, pressure, and evil towards Saudi Arabia, the most pure land ever in the world today, and the most peaceful land. Saudi Arabia attacked no one. The government of Saudi Arabia respects everyone. But you see so and so encouraging the Saudis and the citizens in here through many medias, internet, radio channels, TV channels, radio stations and TV channels to go on strikes and to destroy and to put down the government, subhanallah, whom they want to raise else other than this government. Whom? We don't know whom. Is it those du'at that name the ulama, the kibar, that these are only ulama of hayd and nifas? Those who name the like of Ibn Baz, Ibn Uthaymeen, Al-Sheikh, Fawzan, Ghudayyan, they name them as ulama of the governments? Are those ones who criticize the ulama going to be our leaders in the future? Oh Allah, take my soul before that. This cannot be. So my advice to all of you, dear brothers and sisters, to benefit from the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and look what he sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated for 3 times in his Hajj. The value and importance of the blood, wealth, honor of the Muslim. And look at it today. Salafi, boycotting Salafi, criticizing another Salafi. He is mumayya, he is soft, he is not pure Salafi. What pure and not pure? Do we have pure and mixed? I'm wondering of that. It is Salafi or not Salafi? And the Salafi is the one who is following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, he can't make mistake. No one is free of sin. No one is free of sin, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If it is that, for any mistake you take out the person from Salafiyya, then you must take even the Sahaba out of Salafiyya. Because they all committed sins, committed or had yani, mistakes done from them. Look at that Sahabi who used to drink alcohol, drink wine, and every time he is raised to the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ banished him. When one of the Sahaba Ali radiallahu anhu said, curse upon you, how many times you are brought and punished and you still did not repent? The Prophet ﷺ looked to Ali and he said, he is somebody who attended Badr, the Battle of Badr. And when that woman who committed zina and repented and came to the Prophet ﷺ to purify her by the banishment that Allah Ta'ala made obligatory, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the man, look what happened when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved from Arafat to Muzdalifah. He used to pull up the camel until the camel forcefully turned its head and neck, and the camel's head used to hit the saddle where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting. You know why? It is like today you press your brake of your car, not to go fast, not to harm others. But look what people doing today. And I see from some hujjaj encouraging the driver to speed up and not to allow this car and that car to come in the lane. And they push each other, to limit that car's crashes. And in one day I saw my eyes, no hold me, Hujjaj who were walking, crossing the road, were crashed by 2 big buses, till their eyes cannot be identified from their nose. You cannot identify the eye from the nose, from the mouth, from the ears. It's all smashed like one piece. Is that permissible? If we cannot show mercy in this time, in these places, where else? Where else can we see show mercy? Where else? And this is transmitted to the whole world. If the kuffar see this, how can they trust that we are people of mercy? So we need to think of, and in all our occasions, we have to be so merciful to each other. Not only in Hajj, but the Hajj is example and a lesson for us to go on. But even other than Hajj, الرَّاحِمُونَ يَرْحَمُهُمُ الرَّحْمَنِ اِرْحَمُوا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمْكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Those people of mercy, Allah will put mercy upon them, will send mercy to them. So we have to be always merciful to our parents, to our wives, to the husbands, to the children, to the relatives, to the neighbors, to the other Muslims, even if they are sinners, even if they are not upon good sunnah, we still have to have mercy and teach them. But with harshness, they will not listen to us. With harshness, they will not listen to us. So we have to show mercy to the kuffar, even to the kuffar, we have to show mercy, even to the kuffar. And when I say to the kuffar, it's not those kuffar fighting us in the battle. If that is there in the war, that is a different thing. But people living in London, people living in New York, people living in Ottawa, people living in Munich, people living in Rome, people, why we have to threat them? Why we have to go and destroy and bomb and what? Does Islam call us for that? I challenge. Anyone can prove that. I challenge. But not from your understanding of the verses of Quran and Hadith. Bring me what the Salaf understood from those verses to support your understanding, which I'm 100% sure that it is false. Because most of those who give like this fatwa are not ulama, not tulab al-ilm either. So we have to know from whom we take. We have to take from the ulama, the like of the Mufti, Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah al-Sheikh, the like of Imam Salih al-Fawzan, the like of Imam Dilal Ghadayyan, and the like. Da'imma in Medina, Abdul Mahsin Abbad, Ali al-Hudayfi, Zayd al-Jabri, in Mecca, Subayl, Ajlan, Sheikh Rabi', in Jizan, Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi, Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, in Riyadh, the Grand Mufti, Sheikh Fawzan, Sheikh Ghudayyan, Sheikh Abdulaziz al-Rajihi, Sheikh Abdul Mahsin al-Ubaykan, and the like. The benefit number 8 from the Hajj of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the permission that he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave to those who are old, disabled, and women. And look why it is given to them. It is to benefit from this when they go back to Mina. And this is a sign of mercy. So they can go easily stone. So they can go easily perform tawaf and sa'i. So they can go easily shave and slaughter and like that. But to tell them, yes, you can do anything until the crowd come, then what is the benefit? They better remain in Muzdalifah, in their buses, and that's it. The 9th benefit is what the Prophet ﷺ told Urwa ibn Mudarris, who came from Hail in the north of the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, on his camel alone, climbing every mountain he sees, and climbing down every valley, until he came to Arafah and stood for a while, and then moved to Muzdalifah and found the Prophet ﷺ praying Fajr there. And he prayed Fajr with them after Salah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I put myself in this terrible situation to catch Hajj, but I could not make it. I came when everyone left Arafah. I stood for a while and I came to Muzdalifah. Is there Hajj for me? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, whomsoever prayed our prayer this Fajr in Muzdalifah and had stood any moment in Arafah, in day or night, then he has done his Hajj and done what he supposed to do. And this is a sign of mercy as well. The tenth benefit Aisha gained. When Aisha radiallahu anha saw the people preparing going to back to Medina, she was crying, and the Prophet ﷺ came to her and said, "Why are you crying again?" She said, "Ya Rasulullah, everyone now is going with Hajj and Umrah except me, only Hajj is so. Your tawaf and sa'i you did is enough for your Hajj and Umrah, and you'd be rewarded like them." She said, no, but I feel sorry that I did only one tawaf and sa'i. Subhanallah. Now these, today people are feeling sorry that they are doing two tawaf. They want one. And this reminds me of a joke written in some old books. It is said that there was an imam leading salah, and he was reciting from Surah Al-Rahman. In one rak'ah, in the first rak'ah, it seemed like Aisha, for example, he after Fatiha recited one ayah which contains only one word, which has only one word from Surah Al-Rahman, Mudhammatan. And in Arabic, Mudhammatan means two. So a man after salah came to the imam, he said, you led us too long. Why you recited this ayah mudhammatan in one rak'ah? You could have done one mudhamma in one rak'ah and the other mudhamma in the other rak'ah. And this is a joke, but the ulama make for those who are always in a hurry and they just want things to go so easy. Although the Prophet ﷺ told Aisha in the Hajj, أَجْرُكِ عَلَى قَدْرِ نَصَبَكِ, your reward is as you get tired. As tiredness, as yani, the much tiredness you get, the more reward you get. But people today just want things easy. Although when you compare our Hajj today to what the Prophet ﷺ had in his time, it's no comparison between the convenience and comfortableness. It is today like a picnic. You go there, food ready, water there, toilets, air conditioning, this, transportations. Subhanallah. Even the Jamarat today, as always, three floors. Tawaf and Sa'i, three floors. And tawaf, you do tawaf on marble which never gets hot. Even in the midday in the middle of the summer. But we still count that difficulty. Subhanallah, I don't know when it become easy. Maybe when everyone has helicopter doing tawaf alone. Or we have kind of conveyor belt to take us around the Kaaba, we still consider that difficulty. Subhanallah. We have to go back to the biography of the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba, to know how difficult life they had, but how much iman they had at the same time. How easy life we have and how weak iman we have at the same time. The 11th point is Safiyyah ibn Akhtab radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of believers. When everyone is ready to go now to Medina, the Prophet ﷺ was told that Safiyyah had menses. He said, "What? Is she going to hold us here until she gets free of menses? Did she perform tawaf al-ifada?" They said, "Yes, menses just came now." He said, "Then it is enough for her. That tawaf she did before. Now let us go." So these are 11 benefits from the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now we have the sayings of Hajj, or the sayings in Hajj. There are special sayings that we use in the times of Hajj, whether for Hujjaj or non-Hujjaj, that we don't use any from these is the Talbiyah for all the Hujjaj. From the time they move from their lands towards Mecca, even if it is at the beginning of the season of Hajj, like the first day of Eid al-Fitr, right after Ramadan, if they move, when they pass through the Miqat, they say and continue saying until Hajj, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ لَبَّيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ لَبَّيْكَ إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. And this talbiyah contains of the tawheed, as Jabir radiallahu anhu said. And this is to remind us of tawheed, that today think that it is simple. Let's now be free for politics. Or like the Jama'at al-Tabligh, let's just go for conveying the message of yani good characters and praying. That's it. Encourage each other to pray. But they don't take care of tawheed. That all the messengers are sent for to convey. The second saying is the takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. This takbir has two times, general, mutlaq, and muqayyad, specific. The general is from the first day of Dhul Hijjah, the month of Dhul Hijjah, and it goes for the non-Hujjaj until the Fath of Arafah. From there they start the specific, which is specifically after Salah, after prayers, after obligatory prayers. And for the Hujjaj, from Fajr of Yawm al-Nahr, the 10th of the Hijjah. And the Muqayyad continues with them both, the Hujjaj and the non-Hujjaj, until the Salat al-Asr of the 13th of the Hijjah. And look what this takbir contains or consists of. Allahu Akbar means Allah is greater than everything, everyone. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. No one is worthy of worship but Allah. Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. Allah is the greatest and all praise due to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Hujjaj said in the Talbiyah, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ. Hamd. And here we say, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. And in Surah Al-Fatiha, every day we say, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. All praise due to Allah. So we have to know that. The saying is, the remembrance of Tawaf in between Rukun Yamani and Hajar Aswad. Everyone who's doing tawaf, whatsoever tawaf is, optional, obligatory, pillar, whatsoever tawaf is, you have to say this ritual or this saying between the Rukun Yamani and Blackstone. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Oh Allah, give us in this life good. What is the good in this life? Good health, good wealth, good wife, good husband, good relatives, good neighbors, good religion, good understanding, good character, good manner, good friendship, good neighborhood. good protection. وفي الآخرة حسنة. So what is in the آخرة? What is the حسن in the آخرة? It is the Jannah. It is the Jannah. It is the Jannah. And also the recitation of the ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 125. وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. Look at that. It's a reminder. And take from the prescribed station of Ibrahim, where he stood to build up the Kaaba, a place to pray. Why specifically this place? To remind you of Ibrahim. Who's Ibrahim? Ibrahim is Imam al-Hunafa. Whenever Ibrahim's name is mentioned, Tawheed is emphasized there. So it's a reminder of Tawheed. And that's why our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came for Tawaf, he came to this place and he raised his voice, making people hear, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. And he prayed there 2 rak'ah. In these 2 rak'ah, what did he recite? Fatiha and the 2 surahs that contains Tawheed. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْقَوْمُ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. What does this benefit us? That Tawheed, 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 Tawheed. We never get fed up of Tawheed. Tawheed is the oxygen that we breathe. Tawheed is the food that we eat. Tawheed is the liquid that we drink. Tawheed is the bed that we sleep on and rest. Tawheed is the blanket that covers us from the cold weather. Tawheed, Tawheed, Tawheed is our lives. Tawheed is the blood running in our veins. Tawheed is our heart that beats and bumps the blood into our veins, to our body parts. Tawheed is our brain that operates our body. Tawheed is our eyes that sights for us. Tawheed is our ears. Tawheed is our tongue. Tawheed is our whole life. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, O Muhammad, my prayer, my nusuk. The ulama said nusuk has 2 meanings. Nusuk is hajj, and nusuk is slaughtering. إِطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْتَرْ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. Prayer and slaughtering again. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي. My life and my death is all for Allah. That is Tawheed, that is the oneness. Don't listen to those who say Tawheed al-Hakimiyya. Don't listen to those who say important is Tawheed al-Rububiyya, and they don't care of Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. Don't listen to those. Tawheed can be absorbed in 10 minutes. Don't listen to those who say Tawheed is a simple thing, but what about fiqh? What about politics? All this is stupid. Tawheed is the base of Islam and base of all religions. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهُ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. We have sent amongst every nation a messenger to call them to worship Allah and avoid taghut, for that is. The 5th is the recitation of ayah number 158 of Surah Al-Baqarah. إِنَّ الصَّفَوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. Verily الصَّفَى and المروة is from the Sha'air, the obligations of Allah that He put in this earth for us. So why Safa and Marwa emphasized? Ibn Abbas said, because the Sahaba hesitated to do Sa'i between them. Why? It is because the Kuffar used to put one idol in this on this mountain and other idol in that mountain. So the Sahaba hesitated to do sa'i between them. Then Allah Ta'ala sent down this ayah.
It is not because of our or not kuffar. It is not if the kuffar do something, we do other, like those people today who shave their beards. And when you tell them that the Rasul ﷺ had his beards grown, and he commanded and encouraged, they say, but the kuffar today leaving their beards, see their own, see. So we shave it to dispute ourselves, distinguish ourselves from them. We say this is a joke. So what if the kuffar start praying? Then also the woman, if any kuffar woman start covering their bodies, then Muslim woman go naked. So to distinguish yourself from the kuffar. This is not the way, akhi. If the kuffar take the good thing from us, we should not leave our good thing and go to their bad things. And in a silly excuse, oh, we want to distinguish ourselves from the kuffar. You distinguish yourself and you identify yourself by tawheed, by complete submission to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The text is the dua in Arafah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taisha, when she said, Ya Rasulullah, what do I say in Arafah? He said, the best of what I said, me and the prophets before me, in the day of Arafah, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير. And you guys need to say that even in your lands if you are not doing Hajj in the day of Arafah. The dua also by or the remembrance to be said by the two mountains of Safa and Marwa. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير. لا إله إلا الله وحده أنجز وعده ونصر عبده وهزم الأحزاب وحده. And every time you climb the mountain of الصفا والمروة, you face Kaaba and you say that, and then you raise your hand, make dua, then put your hand, say that rituals again, that remembrance again, then raise your hand, make dua, then you put your hand and say that dhikr again, and then you go down towards the other mountain, and you do in every mountain the same until the last when you are going to Marwa. Once you reach Marwa, you don't say any dua there. So look at this dua and what it contains of oneness of Allah, tawheed. Everywhere you go, tawheed, 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 tawheed. Tawheed must be the strike over our heads. This is the right of Allah who created us. How we find it simple? Subhanallah. And the seventh is the dua by the jamarat. Once you stand the jamratu sughra, you take a side and face the Kaaba, raise your hand and make dua. Once you stone Jamratul Wusta, the same thing. While you are stoning, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, there is no shaitan there. There is no shaitan in that pillar, in those pillars. I've done Hajj many times, I never saw shaitan coming or going. Shaitan is there, spread it there around the Hujjaj, making them push each other, making them steal, making them say bad words to each other, making them harm the others and bother the others. That's what shaitan doing there. While in the day of Arafah, you see him, you see the crimes and bothering and very, very less. Why? Because there, Allah Ta'ala sent mercy upon the people in Arafah. And the shaitan ran away very angry and sad for that, that he cannot take more of the mankind to the hellfire. And the last and eighth, the saying while slaughtering. What do we say? Wherever you slaughter, in Mina, in Mecca, in Jeddah, in Riyadh, in New York, in China, wherever you are, you say one saying. Allahumma minka wa lak. Oh Allah, this is from you or you. إن الله لا يناله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم. لن ينال الله عفوا لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم. The meat and blood of the animal you slaughter for the sake of Allah does not reach him. Allah does not need it. But the taqwa, the fearness, the fear that make you to slaughter is the thing that is raised and is raised to Allah Ta'ala. So dear brothers and sisters, we need to take care of this issue, benefiting from the biography of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba. And if Muslims can go by that, wallahi I guarantee that we will be the strongest ummah ever known. That every ummah will fear us, will think thousands of times before they do anything of what's being done now today. Look at we today. We cannot defend no one. We just set aside. Why? It is not because we don't have money, we don't have muscles. No. It is because we have weak iman. So we need first of all to strengthen our iman by exercising the tawheed. And you guys are responsible of your families, your neighbors who are committing shirk, whether they are kuffar, pure kuffar, or Muslims who are committing shirk by worshipping the awliya. You need to give da'wah to them nicely, softly. Don't be so harsh so they run away and don't listen to you. Look at what Nuh alayhi salam said, وَإِنُّتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَائِي إِلَّا فِرَارًا. And in the other ayah, نعم وإني دعوتهم جهارا وأسررت لهم إسرارا. I called them in open and secretly, and I called them day and night. 950 years he's calling, 950 years he's calling. And even when he asked Allah to destroy them, he looked to his son when the flood is there. It's getting rising up to the mountains. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam called his son, Ya bunayyarkab ma'ana. Look what the people do today. Once they think some of the ilm, I'm Salafi, you father are mubtada, boycott you, don't like you, don't come. What's that? The wife is taken from her husband. Your husband is ikhwani. You cannot stay with him. Subhanallah. Who says that amongst the ulama? Ya ikhwan, you are corrupting the beauty of Islam. You are destroying the meaning of Islam. Be careful not to stand before Allah and then Allah is the one who is going to judge you. So we have to be careful. We have to be nice. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. By the mercy of Allah you become soft with them, and if you were rough, you would have scattered you. So we have to be so soft and nice. Especially, ya ikhwan, you are not living in Saudi Arabia to say we are amongst the ulama. Although that, see our ulama here in Saudi Arabia, how soft they are with the awam, with the juhal. See Muhammad bin Abdul Wahab, his letters to the grave worshippers. Not harshness, So we have to be careful of that, Ikhwan. We have to understand the religion very well. Not as what we like. We don't take the religion as a material of fame. I want to be seen. So I take mic and start criticizing this and that and this and that. And then I bring, yani, if you ask those people, wallah, if you ask them even about pillars of salah and this and that, maybe they don't know. But they just start quoting. Al-Hasan al-Basri said this and number this and number that. Yahya ibn Ma'in, if you ask him who's Yahya ibn Ma'in, in what year he was, yani, born or died, I don't know who's Yahya ibn Ma'in. Yahya, it is not to show a strange knowledge to be famous. It's to show taqwa. Taqwa, the Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba, there will be a man called Uwais al-Qurani of taqwa. If you see him, ask him to supplicate for you. Make dua for you. So Uwais al-Qurani was not known by the Sahaba. He's from Yemen. At the time of Umar ibn Khattab, when he was the Khalifa, he came, Umar ibn Khattab, every year as the Hujjaj from Yemen. Is there a man amongst you called Uwais al-Qurani? No. Until one year they said yes. Where is he? He's there. The Shibr. Said, I'm Umar ibn Khattab. Please. Ask Allah to forgive me. Umar ibn Khattab is asking that man, why? Because that man wasn't a man of fame. He wasn't looking for fame. Uwais al-Qurani, whenever, in that time when he was known, he ran away from Yemen to Iraq. And when he was known in Iraq, he ran away to Sham, and like that, he kept running away. He doesn't want people to know him. Today, we pay for fame. We pay. We want to be known and seen, Allah musta'an. Where is sincerity? Where is certainty? Because if there is no certainty, no certainty. If there is no sincerity, no certainty. No certainty, no sincerity. They are together. You cannot be sincere and not certain. You cannot be certain and not sincere. So we have to take care of that. Wallahi, ya akhwan, none of those who smile at our faces because of our harshness and our ignorance that we think it is, mashallah, knowledge, and from inside we know that it is ignorance. We know that we are ignorant. But we feel happy that people are come to us. Mashallah, brother, you are strong, mashallah. Oh, Sheikh so-and-so. Sheikh so-and-so. What Sheikh so-and-so? From where we become Shiuch? The Shiuch are known. We are ignorant, we are not Shiuch. We're just speakers. One of us has, and I get to wonder that if there is a fluent English speaker, he's a Sheikh. I don't know that English language is the language of the people in Jannah. I never know that Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke English. Subhanallah. And one who has not or broken English, he is this, he is that. Subhanallah. Ya Ikhwan, we need to see things with naked eyes. Take the whatsoever glasses you put on your eyes, remove them. Remove them. See the world on its origin. So you know it. You know the truth from the false, the haq from the batil. May Allah protect us all from falling into the false and keep us always upon the right path and use us always in what He subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. If there is any question, you please, before write it, raise your hand. So we know that there is someone wants to ask. Anybody has a question, please immediately now raise your hand. Right. Alright. I was in a discussion with a group of people. We talked about radicalism, and at each subject they showed a video to talk about, and two videos were hip-hop videos. What is hip-hop? What does go with the time? I got good, mashallah, idea about. Anyway, hip hop videos about things that is happening in the world, like jihad and stuff. So is it haram to watch the video with the intention to take something from the video for the discussion? شوف يا اخوان, how many times you get life? It's only one time. How many times you are born? It's only one time. How many times you die? It's only one time. So don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. This time, you, first of all, you are not alim, you are not talib. So what for you sit and discuss like these things? Use your time to increase your iman. One of the ulama of the salaf, a man came to him one day, and he said, "Ya Imam, I want to talk to you." He said to him, "Okay, can you hold the sun not to move? If you do so, I will sit and talk to you. If you cannot, my time is value. My time has value." So your time has value to you. You have many brothers and sisters who die very early, in very, yani, early ages. So why you need to waste your time? No, akhi, no, ukhti. Use your time. And getting into such kind of rooms in Paltok, and for all, no Islam. The other room, Salafi Durus, Salafi publication, go and seek knowledge. Al-Basira, these are Salafi rooms. Go there and seek knowledge, instead of talking to this and that. Learn about your religion. Recite Quran. Go to rooms where they teach Quran and start learning how to recite Quran and the like. So you increase your iman. Wallahu alam. There's another question came to me. How can we enjoy the Eid with family according to the Sunnah? Well, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu one day entered the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, found two female slaves or young girls playing with kind of music instrument, drum. It's not drum that you have, it's something we call tar here in Saudi. I don't know what you call it in English. I don't think you have it. No, you don't have it perhaps. But anyway, it's a round thing, thin in the width, and it is made of leather, and play with it. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, "Yeah, what is that? Mizmar of Shaitan? Is the music of Shaitan in the house of Rasulullah?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "Leave them, ya Abu Bakr. Let the people know that there is The duff? Yeah, duff, duff in Arabic, not in English.
Tambourine.
Huh? Tambourine? The drink?
No.
I don't know what you call it. Anyway, so the Prophet ﷺ told Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, leave them, let the people see that we have ease in our religion and we have entertainment. It's not only worshipping, no, there are times we can enjoy and entertain. So If the families or ladies together stay in one side, and if you rent a hall, like in your countries there, rent a hall, one section for ladies, one section for men, the ladies talk, play, do some kind of entertainment, and the men the same. This would be good, you know. By same person sends another question, is it wajib for women to go for Eid prayer? Wallahi, Eid prayer itself, ulama has different opinions on that. Some of the ulama say it is wajib. And some say it is sunnah mu'akkada. For men and women. But those who say wajib is more closer to the truth. Because as Umm Atiyya radiallahu anha said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the woman to go for Salatul Eid, even the old woman, even the woman in menses, even the young woman that never exposed. And when she said, but one of us may not have a nice cloth, he said, let her friend or neighbor give her of her clothes. So it seems it is more obligatory for women and everyone to go for Salatul Eid, wallahu a'lam. There's some question. Alright. I wanted to know what this presentation, the one we gave now? Okay, Jazakumullah khair. If there is, the brother is going to play it for a while, so if anyone voluntarily write it down, I appreciate that, and you can send us copy, me and brother Abu Fatima, Jazakumullah khairan, because most of it is from my mind. It's not written. Jazakumullah khair. What? Yes. What benefit? Or what benefit?
Yeah,
what benefit if fasting on the ninth day of the Hijjah? The benefit is, as the Prophet ﷺ said, صِيَامُ صَوْمُ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةَ يُكَفِّرُ السَّنَةَ الْمَاضِيَةَ وَالْبَاقِيَةَ. Fasting the day of Arafah is the due of forgiveness of sins of last year and the remaining year. Naam. What is that? A friend and I want to study the names and attributes of Allah from Sheikh As-Sa'di book entitled An Explanation to the Beautiful and Perfect Names of Allah. What advice would be given in our quest? Well, I don't know what level of knowledge you have, so I can judge you and give you advice upon that. But anyway, if you have a talib al-ilm or sheikh to teach you that, yes, okay. But if you mean studying that just you two sit and read the book, no, two blinds cannot lead each other. Wallahu a'lam. Festival?
Amen.
Festival?
Yes.
Or festival?
Festival.
Can men enjoy the festival, a festival, by doing some sport? Which festival you mean? For the kuffar? Akh Zubair? Where are you, Akh Zubair? Which festival you mean? Muslim festival? I first time hear that. I first time hear that there is a Muslim festival. I don't know of that. Or you mean the Eid? Do you mean Eid? Akh Zubair, do you mean the Eid? Yes, of course, you can enjoy sports. So, yeah, no problem, you can enjoy sport, no problem. However, sport is a good thing. It's a good thing, but you need to keep covering your aura, which is for men, from knee to the full bottom. And if you are in front of, yani, if your families go together, you better not to, yani, for example, if it's swimming, you better not to show your chest and like that, and this is not good. Wallahu a'lam. Any more questions? It seems no. I'm down. What it is. Okay, and then go ahead. Okay. طيب. And by that we end our session today. Huh? Oh? Shayma. Now, what book can a person read to soften the heart? Kitab Allah, the book of Allah, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and as Allah Ta'ala said, in fact, Allah Ta'ala said, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. If we have descended this Quran upon a mountain, it would have come apart from the fear of Allah. So the best thing is, but you need to understand it. Read the Quran and read the translation of the meanings of it, and especially of Muhsin Khan and Sheikh Taqiyuddin Hilali. It helps you and reaching the understanding, the proper understanding, that soften your heart. And by Allah, as Shaykh al-Islam and Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Qayyim said, if one understands Surah al-Fatiha, he cannot hold himself from crying every time he recites it. But the problem is, either we don't understand it or we don't concentrate in recitation. نعم والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى وصحبه جزاكم الله خيرا for your patience in all those days and lectures and even today and إن شاء الله we're gonna come up after Hajj with a new look إن شاء الله as it is before announced that there are going to be يعني some changes in the programs which is going to be so focusing, and inshallah we're going to be so prepared, and inshallah ta'ala we're going to begin once again very strongly with the Arabic classes, with the BIPI, with the other inshallah classes. May Allah ta'ala have a reminder a week besides the khutbah that been transmitted from the two holy mosques and the Mufti, and my khutbah, which is translated in English, and we'll try our best to translate as much as we can of the other khutbah, because the time is very limited, but we'll try inshallah to do that. Wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, and please include us in your dua that Allah ta'ala keep us upon the right path until we stand before him, gaining his pleasure. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.